you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
You're listening to Believe You Me with Michael the Count Bisbing.
You know my name yet?
And Anthony Lionheart Smith.
All right, it's Monday. We're back. Anthony Smith is in the house. Anthony, you're leaving for Brazil, buddy. When do you fly off?
I leave tomorrow at 3 o'clock. I gotta go to Houston, Texas first, and then we're off to Brazil. 10.5 hours.
Yeah, no, I know. The flight down there does suck. Let me ask you this. I mean, obviously, more than likely, you're not going to fight, right? I mean, I'm assuming that's your opinion. There's probably a 2%, maybe 1%, 0.1%. Who knows? The odds of you fighting are very slim, but talk to me about the mentality of what it was like training, getting ready for a fight that you feel that might not happen, but of course, you're going to fight in March as well.
To be honest with you, Mike, I didn't really even think about either one of those guys. I really didn't. I was just training I would be in training camp anyways. So we just trained like normal. And, you know, I'm in good shape already. Things are going well. I'm already sharp. I just started a little bit earlier. But if I'm fighting March 11th, you know, we would be 6 weeks out right now anyways. Something like that. Well, but by the end of January, it'd be like 6 weeks.
Do you have an opponent for March 11th in mind, or can you not say?
No, I don't know. I think a lot of it depends on how the Johnny Walker, Paul Craig fight goes.
Yeah.
And we just go from there, see what happens in the title fight. But so I'd be training for that fight anyways, especially as I get older. The training camps have to be a little bit longer because it just takes me a little bit longer to get rolling. But I just trained hard. I didn't really think about either guy. And just focused on getting my weight down. But other than that, man, I'm just fairly normal.
Nice. Let me ask you this. Glover Teixeira, Jamal Hill, would you mind sharing with me if that fight goes down, which it is going to go down, let's be honest. Who do you think wins that? You know, because obviously you have a lot of you fought Glover and you've trained with Jamal, right? So you know these guys better than anybody. In your opinion, who gets the job done?
This is one of those few times where I don't know. It really comes down to who's gonna impose their will, who's gonna really, I guess, force their game plan on the other one. If it stays standing and Glover can't get a takedown, he just can't beat Jamal. I truly believe that if he can't take him down and he can't keep him there consistently, I don't think he can beat him. If Jamal can't defend the takedown or he can't stay safe enough on the ground and get back to his feet, he's going to have a really tough time winning this fight. So,
yeah.
And both guys know that they know what they're getting themselves into. I will say that Glover is stronger and sneakier than it looks like on film. His positional awareness and control is different than anybody I've ever been around, or been in there with. He's just really tough on top. He's patient. He's very, very patient, and he doesn't seem to force things. He's okay dropping a round or two rounds and kind of investing in the longer end of the fight. Jamal is hard to get to. He's hard to hit. He's fast. He's deceivingly fast.
What about his takedown defense?
It's not bad. It's not bad. You're going to have
that's the key issue for him here in this fight.
It's not bad. He does a good job of staying off defense. He's mobile. He doesn't look like an athlete like you would typically think. He moves really well. He's less explosive, but he's very smooth and fast. And that can be a bigger problem sometimes than big explosive guys. Cause he's, I don't know, man, he's different. He just doesn't, if you look at him, he doesn't look like your stereotypical MMA athlete. He's a really fast learner. So if he sees something once, you're probably not going to get him with it the second time. It's just, he picks up on things very quickly.
So money where your mouth is time. And if you don't want to say, maybe because it's a bit awkward for you, I'm sure you won't care. But let's just say you had $5,000 and you had a gun to your head and you had to bet on one man to win this fight. And if you get it wrong, you get terminated. And so does Brian and Harrington. They get their heads blown off. And don't get it wrong on purpose. Where would you put that $5,000?
Jamal Hill.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of leaning that way as well. Yeah, I'm excited for it. It's kind of like sudden death for both men. You know what it I mean? Is. Because if Jamal lands, we've seen time and time again, he's got that crazy knockout power. And if Glover can get him down, and if Jamal makes one mistake, whether that's be trying to get back to his feet and gives up his back, gives up the mount, whatever it is, if he makes any kind of technical mistakes on the ground and he gets taken down initially, then that could be game over for him as well. So high stakes indeed.
It's high stakes. That's
high stakes.
I hope that you know, the fans and the and everyone watching the fights understand like how high stakes. Maybe it's not like the biggest, sexiest fight, but it's super high stakes because the first guy that makes a mistake loses for sure.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's exactly how I see it. But all right, we'll talk a bit more about that on Thursday. You can shoot us a little update of how it's all going. Let me ask you this. How many pounds have you got to cut? So you're flying tomorrow. You're going to land, I don't know, late Tuesday night.
Yeah,
how many pounds?
Probably by the time I land, because I'll hold on to a little bit of weight and water, you know, just from the long flight. I'll probably have to cut, I don't know, 20.
Yeah, and you're being compensated, so 20. Ooh, 20 pounds hard cut, man. Oof, that's not nasty.
Not too bad, you know. Like there's a lot of those guys at 55 that are cutting 20 the week of, and that's a much larger percentage of their body weight.
When it comes down to the hard cut, to actually getting in the sauna or the sweating, in fact, what is your method, right? Do you do the sauna? Do you do the salt bath? I mean, what do you do?
I usually start with the bath, and I probably do the majority of it in the bath. And then see, I'll sauna. We'll use those. The UFC's got these new things. They're sauna blankets.
I've got one at my house. Yeah.
Do you really? It's just like a sleeping bag kind of, and it heats up and you get in it, and they're not that good.
I didn't like them. I got sent one and I was testing it out and I let in it. I was like, yeah, I was sweating a little bit. I was sweating definitely for sure. And I was like, Callum, you can take this because you're wrestling at college. But if I had to a massive weight cut, I don't think I'd be lying in one of those blankets.
See, I thought the same thing, and it was them goddamn things get hot. I mean, we had to turn it down because I couldn't even touch my skin the last time I used it. It was so hot. But so I'll do the last, I don't know, two or three probably in that thing. But throughout the week, I'll shed a three or four a day, and then probably Thursday night, I'll probably
three or four. What are you doing?
It's just changing my diet. I react really well to diet changes. So
yeah, three or four is a lot though, because I used to do the, obviously
training too. Diet,
no carbs whatsoever, still training, of course. And then obviously pounding the water, the distilled water, tons of that. But I would only lose like a pound and a half a day, three or four. That's amazing.
Really? Well, I'm still training too. So, as I'm sweating in my workouts and I'm fully hydrated, probably three or four a day. And then by the time it comes down to my final hard cut, I'll have, I don't know, eight or nine.
Yeah.
Do most of it the night before, wake up and cut the last couple. Nah, it's not too bad.
When you said 20 pounds, I thought you meant like 15, 16, 17 as a hard cut, because that would be insane. But anyway, all right. Well, listen, best of luck with that, buddy. Safe travels. And I guess we'll see how it plays out. Yeah, yeah. In your mind, Anthony, what would be the ideal situation? You get into fight. Because if you do fight, of course, it's risky, right? It's a little bit risky because you haven't had a full camp. So do you want the fight to go ahead, or would you rather step in and save the day?
If I'm being very honest, I'd rather let them go ahead and fight and see how that plays out.
I thought so.
Just because, honestly, kind of for those guys, you know, they've been through a lot. Glover's been through a shit ton. It's not the most ideal situation for any of us because they kind of got thrown together too, kind of short notice and not necessarily 100% prepared. So I'd rather just let them play out, but I'm ready. I'm in shape. I'm sharp. I feel good. Like if I got to fight, I'll fight. And honestly, it might almost be better that way. If just like the day before, they're like, hey, you're in. Like kind of like you talk about it a lot with your fight where you didn't have a bunch of time to sit around and think about it. You didn't get a bunch of opportunities to second guess yourself or overtrain or worry about, you know, certain shit. Like maybe that is the best way to just go in and do the damn thing.
Just jump in and get it done.
Get it done.
All right. Well, listen, unless you were living under a rock, you must have heard there was some massive news broke at the weekend.
What happened?
Inadvertently, you must have seen that John Jones is fighting Silva. you must have seen it inadvertently. Somebody at the T-Mobile Arena. What do we think, Anthony?
Okay, I didn't see how. I didn't see how though.
The T-Mobile Arena.
About a billboard.
Yeah, the T-Mobile Arena put up what must be a 30-foot billboard saying Jones and Cyril gone March 4th, I think it was. Mm-hmm. But the UFC hadn't announced it. So they totally, well done, Brian.
Oh, God.
Yeah, look at that. Look at that. And the fight hadn't even been announced yet. So one's got to think that this morning, someone's been called to the office and said, who the hell authorized this? You know what
someone
I mean?
Someone went home early today.
Oh, I think so. Let me ask you, Brian and Harrington, show yourselves, please. Boys, how are we doing?
What's up, Mike?
What would be the, you know, if Harrington was to make a blunder of that kind of magnitude, what would that be? Do you know what I mean?
You know what? I've seen Harrington make blunders of magnitudes that have no repercussions, so I can't even imagine. There's nothing. It would be nothing. Nothing would happen to him.
That is quite the blunder, though. How are you, Harrington? You well, mate?
I'm doing excellent, Mike. How are you?
I'm very good. Yeah, so I'd say hello, bring you on the show for a second. Cyril Garne, John Jones, Ngannou's left. Where should we start? Should we start with Ngannou leaving?
Yeah.
We'll start with Ngannou leaving. So Ngannou's left, which is a shame. It's a shame. I don't know him too well. I've had a few interactions with him. I've always found him to be a decent person. A good guy, hell of a fighter, of course, heavyweight, undisputed champion, catches everybody's imagination with that insane knockout power. And it's a shame he's not going to be in the UFC. I get it, because he wants to be able to fight elsewhere and do his own thing. And one's got to think that the main thing that's driving that is this boxing fight with Tyson Fury. After one of Fury's fights, I forget which one it was, Ngannou was there and he was like, have you got a big Corey? Did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, have you got a big Corey and all the rest of it? So you can't blame Francis because he might make 10, 15 million in that fight against the Tyson Fury. But it's not guaranteed to happen, though. It's just because that moment happened, there's been many fights and lots of promotion. It's not guaranteed to happen. I hope it does for his sake, and I would love to see it. Fury versus Ngannou. I really, really would. What a spectacle that would be. It'd be like Thunderlips versus Rocky. Have you seen that, Anthony?
No.
Of course not. Rocky 1 or Rocky 2? When Hulk Hogan fights Sylvester Stallone. You never seen that?
I don't think so. I've seen the Rocky movies, but I don't remember.
Yeah, there's a bit with Thunderlips. That's who Hulk Hogan plays, Thunderlips. But still, it'd be crazy. Muhammad Ali did it as well, didn't he? Muhammad Ali, I think he fought a guy back in the day, like a judo guy or someone like that. But regardless, what are your thoughts?
Inoki, he was a Japanese professional.
Oh, it was like a mixed rules fight, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, yeah. Oh, there's Thunderlips getting choked up by Sylvester. Nice work, Brian. Nice work. Yeah, Anthony, your thoughts, my friend.
You know, I don't mean to burst everybody's bubble, and I know that I'm going to get the same shit we get all the time. We're company men. We're just shills. We're just mouthpieces for the UFC. I never have understood this Francis Ngannou thing. I am pro fighter. I want all the fighters to make as much money as they possibly can. Like,
amen to that.
I want you to dig deep in Uncle Dana's pockets as deep as you can. That's what I want. But I'm realistic and I understand the sport and the business of the sport. If Francis, just say he gets the Tyson Fury fight, we know how that's going to go. But as analysts, there's not a world where Francis Ngannou beats Tyson Fury. Like, Francis Ngannou is just a regular dude as a heavyweight boxer. He's uncommon in MMA. He's unique. He's very special. But in professional boxing, he's average at best. And at best, he's an average puncher. He's a below average boxer. He's below average in his footwork and movement. He's below average in his defense. He's not going to fare that well as a heavyweight professional boxer. So no. Because he has a fantastic name and an incredible highlight reel in MMA, he's going to get a big fight for sure, but probably just one. And is he going to go somewhere else in MMA and make as much money as he would make getting pay-per-view revenue and being behind the promotional monster that the UFC is? I don't think
so. Where's he going to go? Bellator?
Okay, even if Bellator was going to pay him more, maybe once. But where's the I don't care what anybody says. It's all about compelling matchups. That's what sells fights. There is maybe one or two guys out there outside of the UFC on the MMA side that are compelling matchups. And they don't have the promotional push that the UFC has. They don't have the grip and the handhold on the market like the UFC has.
Or the pay-per-view revenue.
Or the pay-per-view, you know what I mean? Even the PFL. Like, even if they do go down this pay-per-view route, you still need a dance partner. You need someone that's as compelling as Francis Ngannou is, and they don't have that. So I always think of things, and this is how I did my own contract negotiation. Could I have made more money in my last negotiation somewhere else? Initially, yeah, I probably could have. But I got to think long-term, like not just the next 2 years. Where am I going to make the most money in the next 5 or the next 10? And that's, I feel like that's maybe one of the, and I'm not trying to count Francis Ngannou's money. I don't know how his business works, but if I'm speculating, he probably initially is going to make more money somewhere else. But if you look down the long term, I mean, I can rattle off 6 or 7 guys off the top of my head that are compelling matchups for Francis Ngannou in the UFC. There's the Derek Lewis. If Derek Lewis went on a run and got a couple wins, I'd love to see that fight go again. There's
John Jones for one.
There's John Jones. There's a Cyril Gane
rematch. Tom Aspinall down the line. Curtis Blaydes.
Yeah. There's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of them.
Keep going. Ryan Bader is the Bellator heavyweight champion right now.
I love Bader, but that's not compelling to me. It's not compelling to me. I don't give a shit about that.
In boxing,
that's what I'm worried about. Like, he's going to get one big boxing fight, and after that, the new is going to wear off, and then we're going to see how good he actually is. And people are like, oh, fuck, he's not that good.
I mean, because what's he going to do? I think, and by the way, I'm not, God bless him, and I hope it all works out for him. But I think it's maybe this Tyson Fury carrot that's been dangled in front of him, but it's not guaranteed. I mean, it's hard enough getting Tyson Fury at this stage of his career, being as wealthy as what he is, the monies that he's made, and the career that he's had. You know what I mean? He's talked about retirement and all kinds of things. So that fight isn't a guaranteed. And if it isn't guaranteed, I don't think there's anywhere else that's going to pay more money. Dana said, and if we, you know, he said they offered him a contract which would have made him the highest paid heavyweight fighter ever. Okay. But incidentally, it came out today that John Jones now has the second highest contract other than Conor McGregor. So congratulations to Jones for that. I know you'll probably feel differently about those words, but for Ngannou, the highest paid heavyweight from what I understand, and according to an article I read from MMA Junkie, was Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar for UFC 200, they said yesterday, I read, he got $8 million. And prior to that, he was earning in the region $2 to $3 million. So if they offered him a contract that was more valuable than that, that's a lot of money he just walked away from. So the only thing that I can think of that competes with that or could potentially generate more money would be a blockbuster heavyweight boxing fight against Tyson Fury. But that's not guaranteed to happen.
Even if it does, it's one. If you're gonna be the highest paid heavyweight, we'll just say it's 5, just for an easy number. Say they offered him $5 million, and then he's got the pay per view or whatever. Even and then say he makes 20 in the Tyson Fury fight, 20 one time, or $5 million every single time, like. you don't have to be a mathematician.
That's a tough one. I might take the 21 time just because he always wanted to box. Apparently, always wanted to box, and he wanted to box a long time ago. His coach turned him into MMA because it was more likely to happen, you know. So he can tick off that personal box and get that $20 million. And I guess MMA will always be there.
You could fight three times and make more than that 20, because you know, you and I both know, after he fights that one time in boxing, there's no more $20 million paychecks once they see him.
No. What are they going to do? I don't think Anthony Joshua was saying, I want Ngannou next. And I don't think
Deontay Wilder's not calling for him.
None of those guys are saying, ooh, we want him next. It would more than likely be a one-off occasion.
And that's the thing with boxing. Like, you have to win. And if you put those three up against Francis Ngannou, I don't know who else. Even, yeah, just take those three guys. Like, he loses to any of them, it's over with. The boxing thing is dead. At least the huge paychecks, the $20 million type paychecks, are gone. Now, if he was able to beat one of those guys, then that's a different story. But, you know, maybe he's the bet on himself type of guy. I just don't see it happening.
Hey, and God bless him, because he clearly is a bet on himself type of guy. And I respect and I wish him all the best. I really do. But it sounds like we're both on the same page in terms of what he's going to achieve there. But, hey, either way, because outside the UFC, what's he going to do? One FC, I don't think that's going to be the fit. They ain't going to have the kind of money. People, Bare Knuckle FC are talking about Francis fighting on Bare Knuckle FC. Well,
if it's not boxing, I hope it's Bare Knuckle.
Well, listen, who in their right mind is stepping into a ring or an octagon with Francis Ngannou with no gloves on? Do you know what I mean? That's a braver or / stupider man than me. I'm not signing up for that one. And I don't know. I know Bare Knuckle have some big money. They've paid a lot of people some very, very handsome money. I believe they offered you a pretty decent contract as well once upon a time. But I don't think they have Francis Ngannou more than the UFC style money. Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm woefully wrong there. But I can't see it. You know?
Yeah, it would be fun to watch, though.
My God, whatever. What a terrifying prospect. Francis Ngannou
could just give him a one-off. Just one-off. Just let's do one.
Anybody, and Harrington and Brian, maybe you two jump in here as well. If there was one person, Francis Ngannou, a one-off in a bare-knuckle boxing fight, who would the opponent be? Someone that might stand the chance of winning.
Oh, easy. Mike Perry.
Mike Perry might just be crazy enough to do it. The thing about Mike Perry. Yeah.
Fedor versus Francis. I would pay to see that. That's the fight to make.
Yeah. Last time Fedor was out, I think it was against Rampage, wasn't it? You see that when he flatlined Rampage?
Oh, Rampage Bare Knuckle would be pretty sweet too.
Rampage would be bloody sweet as well. I mean, it'd be at a size disadvantage. You know, I mean, Rampage is a big, heavy dude these days, but it's not the kind of... He hasn't got the kind of weight
he probably wants.
It's not the kind of weight, there you go, that he wants. Yeah. Anyway, well, listen, best of luck to Francis. It's a shame. It's a shame to see him walk away, but that's his right. And I wish him nothing but the best going forward. So thank you for the memories. And
Francis Ngannou versus Nate Diaz.
Francis Ngannou versus Jake Paul's being thrown around.
Let's go.
Okay.
Deal.
All right. Yeah, I'd love to see that go down. Of course, with that happening, with the shakeup, we now have John Jones versus Cyril Garn for the undisputed heavyweight championship. And I think, to be fair, other than a Stipe Miocic, Stipe should probably have got the crack, but he didn't want to go just yet. So it's Cyril versus John, March 4th. It's a tough one for Cyril Garn, in my opinion. How do you see that fight?
I think it's a pretty well-matched fight. I think that... I have more questions. Excuse me. I have more questions than like maybe well-oiled thoughts right now, to be honest with you. I'm so curious how he's going to move and how mobile and how athletic he's going to still continue to be at heavyweight. I think Cyril Garn is one of the tougher matchups for him in the entire division. It may be the toughest matchup for him.
I don't know about that. That's where we have a difference of opinion. I hear what you're saying about the body type. For sure, there's going to be questions there. Will he still be as agile? Will he still be as quick? Will he still have the cardio to go five rounds and all the rest of it? Because now that's a real tax on his energy system. If he's got another 30, 40 pounds, or even if it's just 20 or 30 pounds, that's a real issue. Like, for example, much, much lower level down the totem pole, Callum, my son, you know, he wrestled at 197. Now he's a growing boy. He's too big. Now he's wrestling at heavyweight. First couple of times it caught him out. He was like, oh my God, dad. He said, I couldn't believe it. You know, I was getting gassed. And the style what you wrestle in heavyweight is very different. So I've got things to learn and all the rest of it. So that's a not the best comparison, but it is a worthy comparison.
Yes.
But the thing is, when it comes to John Jones versus Cyril Garn, the reason I think it's, you know, and listen, don't get me wrong, on the feet, Cyril Garn is phenomenal. He's so dynamic. His footwork's phenomenal. His striking's amazing. Flying knees, beautiful jab. He has submissions as well if it hits the ground. Not that he's a black belt or anything, but he knows, you know, he's got a few subs, got a couple of heel hooks, I believe. But, and hear me out on this, tell me what you think. If Francis Ngannou could take Cyril down time and time again, and that's essentially the path to victory for him, then I would say that John Jones can. Because whilst Francis is a phenomenally strong athlete, you know, ridiculously powerful, he's not a lifelong wrestler. Didn't wrestle in college or high school or any of that stuff. He's learned a bit of wrestling through mixed martial arts, kind of like I did. John Jones is a very, very good wrestler. He would take people down very easily, shoot, blast doubles, put them down and elbow the shit out of them. I'm just thinking that if Francis can do that, a 260-pound John Jones probably can as well.
Potentially. Looking back at kind of my fight with John, I remember being very concerned, you know, leading up to it. Like, you know, we got to be very mindful of the takedowns and stuff. He's very, very tough on the fence. He's like in the clinch and he'll drop down to doubles really, really quickly. I didn't, even watching him wrestle DC, I didn't feel that in my fight with him. I think he shot 10 takedowns. I think he got 2. So, I wonder if the Cyril Garn takedown issue in the Francis Ngannou fight was more surprise and shock than maybe outright just being out wrestled. I just don't think he expected it because I don't think any of us did.
Valid.
So I think there's
nobody expected Francis Ngannou to be wrestling.
Right. I think there's something there, but I think that some of the physical advantages and the way that John fights or has previously fought at 205 pounds. A lot of that stuff is gone at heavyweight. He's very long. Doesn't necessarily use his arm reach as well as maybe he probably could. It's more of a style thing. It's not that I don't think he can. He just likes to fight in a different way. His movement, his stance switches, his mobility, the amount of distance that he's able to cover in a short amount of time. I think all of those advantages that he has over 205-pounders is gone with a guy like Cyril Garn. So what I think is going to happen is it's going to force John to have to be super technical. He's going to have to be technically superior in all areas. When I think at times he's gotten away with, and I don't want to say he's gotten away with, but it's the best way to say it. He's gotten away with maybe not always having the technical advantage in some areas because he uses his body so well and as coachable as he is, I think they keep him out of some of these certain spots. He very much boxes you into where he needs to keep you. And I think he's going to be forced to be technically better everywhere because he won't enjoy the physical advantages and his God-given gifts that he's taken fantastic advantage of. So I think Cyril Garn fights the way that John fights on his feet, but he's been doing it his whole life at that same size. So I'm curious if he moves right into being a heavyweight, moves the same and you know he's going to slow down. There's no doubt about it. He's going to be a little bit slower.
It's going to be interesting.
Differently, and
if he because does Cyril Garn, he can. I mean, the striking's phenomenal. Knocked out Derek Lewis, knocked out Taito Uwasa, many many others. They're the two most recent ones. So it is going to be because he's not going to be able to bully people either. You know, John. Mm. Not that I'm saying bullied you or whatever, but he's natural.
He did a little bit on the fence
and long.
He did bully me a little bit on the fence.
Well, I wasn't saying that. I can't recall the fight, if I'm honest. It was a long time ago. So many fights since. Obviously, you'll remember
space, I think John is going to have a tough time with Cyril Gane. Like, I just couldn't quite get to John. I just couldn't quite reach him. I don't move or fight the way that Cyril Gane fights. I don't dart in like that. So John was just always outside of range. I just couldn't quite reach him. It was so frustrating. But Cyril Gane will be able to. He's mobile. He's faster. He's longer. He's big. I mean, Cyril Gane is huge. I mean, if we could go back and just take a look at the face-off picture of him and Francis Ngannou in the center of the octagon that night, he was bigger than Francis. And I had him when we had him at the desk in Paris, and he was next to me. I could not believe how big he. I mean, he dwarfed me. We looked way more than just one weight class apart. He was huge.
And that's the thing as well, because he's naturally at that weight. See, now granted, John, you know, you cut down from a lot of light heavyweights could fight at heavyweight. You know what I mean? Like a Daniel Cormier, like a Rampage Jackson, who we mentioned before, and certainly a John Jones. You know, if you don't cut weight like you now, you're 220. Yeah, there he is. I mean, Cyril does look, he's a big boy. He's big. He's very powerful, but he's so used to just carrying that around. And it's going to be so injured. And I guess we won't know. And that's what makes this fight so captivating, you know, because he has been away for 3 years. Will there be ring rust? Will there be demons? You know, will he be rusty? You know, now, of course, he's been sparring a lot. So physically, he won't be rusty, but mentally, and he's getting older. And this is a new breed of heavyweight as well. So it's going to be exciting. It's going to be very, very exciting. Can't wait for it. All right, Harrington, give us a non-MMA story. I'm just looking at some of the suggestions you've put on in here. I don't know if you've looked, Anthony.
I try not to, because then I just get disappointed.
I mean, I've had absolutely no input in any of these, and these are all bad choices. What is this one? This sounds like the most thing we can have fun with. What is this? A woman was caught doing personal things on company time thanks to a spy software, and now a judge has ruled that she needs to pay her employer back the wages. So what was she doing? Was she masturbating or something? And then she got busted?
No. So what happened was thanks to this work from home thing, right? Like, a lot of employers now are putting spyware into their company software so they can track everything else you're doing. So if you're on the clock and you, let's say, go and take care of personal banking, right? Or order a birthday cake for your kid, you're now doing personal things on company time. And they're like, well, that's like, you just lost 20 minutes there, 40 minutes there, 20, you know, 15 minutes there, and they came back to her with a bill essentially that was like, yeah, you owe us this amount of money.
Yeah, but that's interesting, because a lot of the time when you work from home, I think you just need to get those. It depends on the job, right? But if you're working from home, I can't imagine it's hourly rate. Do you know what I mean? Because how do they goddamn know? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the beauty of working from home. You can't allow someone to work from home and then spy on them, as long as they're getting the job done.
Right. They're doing their work. Shouldn't be an issue.
If they're getting the job done, it should be fine.
All right, guys, let's talk about Manscaped really quick. You know the deal by now. The world's leader in below-the-waist grooming, okay? The Lawnmower 4.0 is the latest and greatest iteration of their game-changing lawnmower, okay? It's been through 4 upgrades, okay? It's got the skin-safe technology. It allows you to trim your frankenbeans, your crown jewels, your meat and two veg, whatever you want to call them. You're going to get it nice and smooth, and you're not going to be leaking blood. You're not going to hurt yourself, nick yourself, or cut yourself, okay? Also, you can get the Manscaped 4.0 as part of the performance package, though. The Lawnmower 4.0 body trimmer, okay, that's going to be in there. You're also going to get the weed whacker for those nose and ear hairs, okay? You can trim those up nicely. You get the crop preserver, which comes with the ball deodorant, and the crop reviver ball toner, okay? But you can also get the Platinum Package. It has everything that I just mentioned in the best-selling Performance Package, plus Ultra Premium Body Wash, Ultra Premium 2-in-1 Shampoo and Conditioner, and Ultra Premium Deodorant. All the Manscaped shower gear is sulfate-free, vegan, and made to leave your skin feeling hydrated and smelling fresh. Also, if you fancy it, if you want to keep those toenails in check, they got the nail clippers, they got the new body buffer, and over a dozen other products that you could use in your bathroom. And yes, I know you're saying, wow, Mike's beard looks nice and trimmed. They also do a beard trimmer. They just sent it to me. Thank you very much, Manscaped. Go to the website, manscaped.com. All kinds of men's grooming products, whatever you need, they have you covered. But I suggest the performance package or the platinum package, they will have you covered. But whatever you do, whatever you order, be sure to use the code Bisping. That's going to get you 20% off and free shipping. So manscaped.com is the website. The code is Bisping, 20% off and free shipping. Your balls are going to thank you.
Speaking of doing inappropriate things on the job, I don't know if you guys talked about this. I don't even know when it came out. Did you see about that cop from Tennessee, that female cop that was getting gangbanged by like five other police officers and like sleeping with cops and stuff on duty, like at the police station? Yeah.
Oh my, I did it. But Brian, if you can just Google that real quick.
I probably should have sent that in before.
I need a visual. I don't know what it is. For me to give my in-depth analysis, I need to picture this woman. I need to see what she looks like. There's Harrington straight to it in the chat with the link, Brian.
He already had it ready to go.
Where was this?
To be fair, it was in Tennessee. I had this story, and I was like, I don't know if this makes sense for Believe You Me.
Of course it does.
Anthony brought it on. So that's the lady in question there. Is it? There's the multiple
guys.
It was
like all the guys.
That's only some of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not even all of them.
Five officers have been fired, including her. Another three have been suspended, including the head of the K-9 unit.
Oh, my God.
What a nice lady.
That's embarrassing.
I read today that her husband's sticking by her side.
I mean, that's one hell of a relationship.
He says that.
I mean, it's one thing, you know, they can figure it out. You know what I mean? They've been unfaithful or whatever. But when you get caught getting blasted of five men at work, do you know what I mean? That's a hell of a
Some of them were together, I think. There was like I was reading this story. I was so weirded out by this, but I was reading the story and it was saying they were like in a hot tub or something and doing their thing, and then she was like taking unloaded guns and like pulling the trigger to her head, and I was like, wow, this lady should not be a cop, let alone, like, she seems like she's crazy anyways, let alone sleeping mental. With everyone that she works with. It was crazy.
She's mental
Nice lady, anyway, though,
and here's another
very
one,
giving though, individual.
Oh, of course, doing a great community service,
stress, you know, it's just stress relief to her co-workers.
It is. She's concerned for them. Here's one that Harrington put in. And I don't know where to start with this. Former Bellator fighter and brother of Kevin Lee, Keith Lee, who, I'll be honest, I'm shame on me, perhaps. Shame Bell brought that back. That's an old school touch for you there. I didn't even know he had a brother called Keith Lee. I didn't even know he fought for Bellator. He's blown up on TikTok. He's blown up on TikTok as a food reviewer. Harrington, tell me why I should give a damn about this, please. I know nothing about it.
Well, I was thinking, since you guys are both in and out of Las Vegas so much, you would go and try the pizza shop that he apparently single-handedly saved. So his deal is he'll go into failing small businesses and give an honest review of the food. And typically when he gives like a, yeah, that's pretty good, business blows up for these people. So this one pizza place in Las Vegas personally credits him with saving their business.
Oh, nice. Nice. Well, good for him. That's amazing.
What's the pizza place called?
What's your favorite kind of pizza, Anthony?
I'll pretty much eat anything, Mike.
No, but if you had to pick one, it's your last pizza, you're going to die, right? There's a gun to your head, remember, just like before. Same gun, same person. You're like, what is this weird torture you're doing to me?
I went to, when I was working in Bristol, I went to, it's like the pizza capital.
The toppings, Anthony, the toppings. We don't care. It matters.
What?
Pepe's in New England.
Pepe's. It was a pepperoni pizza from Pepe's. It was so good. I'm a pepperoni pizza guy. You can get stuffed crust, I'm in.
Oh, I don't like the stuffed crust. I like it thin.
Oh, no, it's got to be a nice thick pizza.
Oh, I like it thin. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Pineapple on a pizza?
No. Get out of here.
I don't mind it. Ham and pineapple or Hawaiian, I don't care. It doesn't bother me. It's okay. Why? It's not my favorite, but I don't mind it.
That's, you know, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm an international exotic guy, but that's the type of shit that I
just judged you.
For,
for one show. Well, judge away, brother. Judge away. Maybe you need to. Maybe I'm judging you for your unsophisticated palate. You know what I mean? The people down there in Arkansas.
You can't put fruit on a pizza.
Yes, well, you can, evidently. You can't. And people do it, and it's known as a Hawaiian pizza.
Not have my respect.
No. You've offended me. This is the one time that lately, Harrington used to do it, but just lately I've been sending in a few. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And on this occasion, I didn't again. And this is what we have to talk about. But one thing we will talk about is the fights at the weekend. Sean Strickland getting it done against Nazordin Emavov. He's sticking with that Frenchie line all the way through, even at the post-fight press conference. He's Dagestani, but whatever. He's fighting out of France. What did you make of the fight, Anthony?
I thought Sean Strickland did a good job at making some adjustments. Just lead because the Cannonier fight was very close. I think you could have gone either way with it. I thought Strickland won the Cannonier fight, but I understand how you could have judged it the other way. I think just with it being short notice, being a little bit heavier, I thought it was smart of him to not cut all the way to 85 because he's a big dude. Mm-hmm. But he was kind of looking for the finish a little more. He was swinging bigger. He looked like he was putting more effort into this fight than he has in a while. On 4 or 5 days notice, whatever it was, against a hot prospect and up and comer like Nasruddin, I thought it was an incredible performance. I thought he did the right thing to make the right adjustments. I thought it was really funny seeing him after the judges' scorecards were ready, walked over to each judge and thanked them all.
He ran over. Yeah,
I thought that was funny.
No, fair play to him. As you say, stepping up on a few days' notice. That's the beauty of being a guy like Sean that's training all the time. You know what I mean? A lot of people and younger fighters can learn from this, you know. Until you've made it, until you're at a point where you're financially secure or that you're, you know, at least in your own mind, a goddamn legend, you know, you've got to be in the gym. You've got to be staying consistent. You've got to be trying to improve. And you can clearly see for Sean, you know, he obviously probably took a few days off after the last fight. And in the gym, I mean, he lives for it, doesn't he? He's that type of guy. He loves a bit of violence. It's probably the highlight of his day or his week, getting to beat some people up in the sparring room because he is like that. So, yeah, it was a good fight. Great performance, as you say, coming in at 205. He probably could have made 185 if he really wanted to. But it was smart to say, you know what? No, I'm not going to cut weight. I've got enough going on last minute. I mean, that's why he rocked up with the glasses on because he had the eye test.
The
dilated pupils. You got all that stuff to do last minute. You don't want to complicate things by throwing in a weight cut as well. And good for him, you know, and he had to bring it. He had to bring it because if he'd have lost that would have been three in a row. You know what I'm saying? Tough. And it's not a good position to be in. So well done to Sean on looking to Imavov. Imavov looked good. He looked dangerous on occasion here and there, but Sean, for the most part, he was one step ahead. Mixed in a couple of takedowns and stuff like that. Imavov's good. It's a good win. Yeah. Good scalp to have.
Yeah, it's I look like at times Imavov had some, I think maybe some of that weight kind of weared on him a little bit. And being in there with a guy that's as elusive and hard to hit as Strickland is, and I think he's going to learn a lot because he kind of just seen a little bit of the top of the mountain. I think he's going to grow a lot from that. I think Sean did a good job of, you know, pushing him up against the fence, which is something he hasn't been doing recently. Is because, you know, you hear over and over and over how good of a grappler he is and how big of a pain in the ass he is in the clinch, and he just doesn't do it a whole bunch. So I think he weighed on him a little bit, put those extra 20 pounds on him and slowed him down. I think if Imavov would have had a little more gas and could deal with the pressure of someone like Strickland a little bit better, I think he would have been more successful. But he'll learn, man. He's young. He's got a lot of fight left in him. I still expect big things out of Imavov.
Let me ask you this: you're a man who loves a good tattoo, Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
You got many tattoos all over your body, many on your hands, back. Where's the most obscure place you've got a tattoo?
The most obscure.
Do you have one on your pee-pee?
Not yet.
Would you do that? Is that something that you're going to work on?
I mean, I don't know if I'm going to work on it. I mean, if I probably would.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. Yeah, it's not a work on it thing.
Yeah, like I would. It's not something I got like on the books and I'm preparing for. But, you know, if I was
When you come to get the said penis tattoo, what would that be? Would it be like an arrow just pointing to the end? What would you get on?
Be a fucking small arrow. It wouldn't take very long, that's for sure.
It wouldn't be a Francis Ngannou arrow. That's for damn sure. My God, you'd run out of ink. The reason I bring this up is because what about a face tattoo? Would you ever consider a face tattoo?
No, I think my wife would leave me. That's kind of always been the thing. If I got my face or my neck tattooed, she's not all about it.
Well,
everything else is fair game.
Izzy does not care. You might have saw this. He's got he's got the dragon tattooed on his forehead, well, above his eyebrow, in Arabic.
What's it say?
It say apparently it translates to dragon. I'll be honest, it kind of he can pull it off.
It kind of looks cool.
Yeah, he's a flamboyant guy, and he's very, you know, he's a little bit extra in his style and all the rest of it. And Izzy pulls it off. I never in a million years could I have dragon tattooed right there and just walk about in my day-to-day life without getting ridiculed from the masses. Yes, Harrington.
So he actually showed like one little piece of it at the end there, like a flash. It's a nod to an anime character who has like a tattoo over his thing, and he does like this, and he gets power from the tattoo. So maybe that's what's missing for the third fight or fourth fight with Pereira.
Yeah, well, I'm sure if Strickland saw that, he'd have something to say.
Yeah, you can guarantee that. That's for sure.
What kind of grown man watches anime, huh?
Yeah. he can pull it off. I couldn't pull it off. I'd look stupid.
No,
as shit,
he can. But... he can. Harrington, give us a mixed martial arts story because I've upgraded all my system here. I've got two big monitors and all the rest of it. I've got a new computer. It's a PC instead of a Mac, and it's a very, very different system. And I touch one monitor and it disappears off somewhere. I'm like, that's why I'm looking around left and right like this. I'm like, where the hell did the notes go? They've disappeared. So, Harrington, I'll let you cue this one up, buddy.
Probably the biggest story outside of the Ciryl Gane news, UFC 286 officially has a main event, Usman versus Edwards 3, as the, you know, the champ came on here last week and said that was likely to be the fight. It also has a co-main event, Justin Gaethje versus Rafael Fiziev. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Anthony. Did you happen to see the appearance from the champ Leon Edwards last weekend in your hiatus?
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't lie.
No. Okay. I'm sorry. Training was crazy, and you know how it is. The coaches, my coach changed the training times.
I do not expect you to watch episodes that you're not on. I'm joking. Shout out Leon Edwards, though, because if you do watch, if you do get bored, he was awesome. He really was, and I think, Brian, would you mind cutting out the Leon Edwards? Because sometimes I go, right about now. But we got Leon Edwards to do it, so we've got an authentic Jamaican right about now, you know, but he was awesome. So shout out Leon and thank you again for your time. So that's been made official. Him and Kamaru 3 is going down for sure. But co-main event, Justin Gaethje, Rafael Fiziev. I'm just going to start off the conversation. I'll throw it to you in 1 second. I think that this needs to be the fight where we get to see some of Justin's wrestling, because Fiziev, I'm not saying that Justin can't beat him on the feet. I'm not saying it would be foolhardy for him to fight him toe-to-toe, but he is such an accredited wrestler. It would be foolish not to sprinkle in some takedowns.
He's just leaving such a big part of his game and just leaves it in the back. I very much agree with you. Like,
I agree with you,
Mike. I'm not saying he can't strike with Fiziev and can't beat him there, but why beat everybody where they're the best? Why do you do that? You know, like, I get it against Oliveira. You don't want to wrestle against that guy. Chandler's going to be kind of the same. Chandler's going to be a tough guy to wrestle against. But if you're going to wrestle, and at this point in Gaethje's career, I want him to put himself in the best position to win. You know, at least bring your full game. And he just hasn't been doing that. And you know, I look forward to seeing Gaethje shoot some takedowns, get some big ground and pound, at least mix it in a little bit. I'm not saying you got to slow your game down and be super boring and fight in a way that you don't necessarily enjoy. But I think he would be more dangerous on his feet if he mixed in some takedowns.
Without question. What was his last fight, Gaethje? Was it Charles Oliveira? Have we not seen him since then? I don't believe so, right?
I think it was.
So, yeah. So I'm just looking at the record of Fiziev. Last time out, knocked out Rafael Dos Anjos, knocked out Brad Riddell before that decision, Bobby Green, knocked out Moicano in round one, beat Marja Casey on Fight Island. I called that one. And Marja Casey, this is before Marja Casey was wrestling everybody like he is now. Marja Casey's phenomenal on the feet, and he beat him.
So is Brad Riddell.
So is Brad Riddell. I mean, there's some good. He's on a 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 fight win streak in the UFC. Alex White, March Casey, Renato Moicano, Bobby Green, Brad Riddell, and Rafael Dos Anjos. So for Fazeev, this is a massive opportunity now. Massive opportunity to get against a guy as highly ranked as Justin Gaethje, a fan favorite. Everybody loves the human highlight reel. If he can get a win over him, he is knocking on that door as a next or as a potential title challenger down the line. So, yeah, Gaethje, we love Gaethje. We love the way he fights. We love the excitement he brings to the table. And part of that is because he does throw caution to the wind and says, let's just have a row. Let's go for it. But this time I would like to see him be tactical. But it comes down to it. Will... And I don't know if I'm phrasing this the correct way, but will his ego allow that? Because I think, and what do you think about this, Anthony? When it comes to us as fighters, we're like, no, I'm going to stand and I'm going to beat you at your own game. And that's our ego talking. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you put that in check, you think, well, the easiest way to beat this guy is to use some of the years and years and years of wrestling that I studied in high school and college. You know what I mean? Because he's a Thai boxer. Sure, I'm sure he knows how to stop some takedowns and get back to his feet. But he's not half the wrestler that Justin Gaethje is.
No, he's not. And I agree with you. I don't know what to call it because I don't want to. Because when you say ego, it seems like a negative thing that you're saying.
It sounds insulting. And yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why I said I'm not sure if it's the right word.
But I don't mean it in an insulting way. But can he check his craving for that fan appeal? You know what I mean? Can he check that craving for just an all-out battle and war? Because when you have the power that Gaethje has, you always can believe that you can shut someone off with one. So you know, one big shot,
dropping somebody with one of these,
it's way easier.
It's way easier. It takes way less effort. Yeah. And it's way more satisfying. Yeah. You know what I mean?
A lot. Yeah, by a lot.
Tell me about for me, I can think of a couple right now, but I've probably said them a million times. For you, when you think of what I'm talking about here, you know when you throw a punch and you feel the connection on the knuckle, through the glove, you know, and you're like, you get that feedback. And like for me, instantly, I can think of a few. When I knocked out Rockhold, that'd be one of them that instantly comes to mind. But what is one situation like that for you where you've landed a shot and you're like, baby, good luck getting up from that one.
Yeah, one was an elbow and one was a punch. The elbow was a guy, his name was Elvis Mutopchik. It was my first bonus in the UFC. You know, we were kind of going back and forth and I was getting the better of him, but we kind of came to a clinch and he reached up for my neck and I just went right over the top of his tie collar. And it was a nasty elbow. And he just, you know, his whole body went limp. His legs kind of just went. It just, you feel it right away.
And then it's beautiful.
The punch was Shogun. I kind of got backed up to the fence and just a nasty 1-2. And right away, you know, I remember thinking.
Why have you got to do that to a nice legend like Shogun?
Yeah, like he was trying to do the same shit to me.
Have a bit of respect.
I remember landing the punch. And in my head, I remember thinking, no way. No, like, you know, when something lands big like that, like that guy is going down. And it was kind of a delayed reaction. And he just kind of took a step back. And I remember being like kind of afraid, like, oh, God, if he can take one of those, I don't know what the hell I'm going to do. And then his whole body kind of went, you know, it was just delayed a little bit and he went down. But yeah, that was another one. You just know.
It might sound weird to some people. It might make us sound violent. You know what I mean? Or like with some kind of, that we have an issue with us. And I think maybe we do.
Maybe we do.
But there is, you can't beat it. It is, you know, because listen, we sign up to the life of being a fighter. When you throw a shot, and it might be a punch, an elbow, a kick, a knee, whatever it is. When you land a solid blow and it's flush, it is a great feeling that maybe some people can't understand. Harrington, give me the lowdown though, because Fazeev has been booked, and I think that's a tremendous co-main event for London. And I think the people of the UK, you know, because having guys like Justin Gaethje is massive for the people that have to buy tickets. They want to see the American superstars as well. Mm-hmm. There is tremendous skill and tremendous fighters and a great roster of athletes from the UK. You know what I mean? But they do want to see those fan favorites, people like you, Dustin Poirier, you Justin Gaethje, et cetera, et cetera. Now they've got Kamaru Usman coming over. They've got Justin Gaethje in the co-main event. That's fantastic. But Harrington, set the scene here because Fazeev is coming over as well. And Phuket top team, who I happen to know with, and I didn't hear this, nice investigative journalism here, Harrington, but Phuket top team seem to think that Fazeev owes them some money if you're there.
I am. So it was in response to Rafael Molcano hopped on Twitter and was like, man, I can't believe Fazeev is an underdog here in this fight. It's crazy. Phuket top team responded saying that
Phuket.
Yeah, Fazeev owes 3 months rent for over 3 years now to a Thai house owner. We've written him multiple times. He agrees that he owes the money. He just doesn't want to pay it. So they're asking Justin Gaethje to go collect for them.
3 months of rent?
Three months of rent, which is like $9.
Was he owing like 18 bucks?
Yeah, exactly. Have you ever been to Thailand, Anthony?
Never. I'd love to, though. Dude,
I'm going this year. I'm going. Come with us.
I'll go with you. Hell yeah.
Oh, my God. I got to go. It's an amazing place.
Yeah, I would love to go to Thailand. Would love that.
I first went 2004. I went out there for 3 months. Like just doing Thai boxing and whatnot. And then since then, I've been many times. When it comes to the culture of training, it's just amazing in Thailand. But yeah, when you go out there, Phuket top team, when I was there, they looked after me. They got me a truck to drive and all the rest of it. We did some training with my son and whatnot. That'd be amazing. BYM live from Thailand.
Right.
Let's go. Boyd, yeah. Phuket top team. If you see this, hook it up. The Lionheart and the Count are coming over. Let's go.
Let's do it. Yeah, that'd be how was Paul Craig?
Oh, he was awesome. Paul Craig's always great. He's always great. What did he say, Harrington and Brian? I forget, regarding Anthony. I don't think he had anything bad to say. He has nothing against you whatsoever. No, just remind me, Harrington. Cool.
He accused you of a bit of cue jumping, is how he put it, if you were to get the next title fight when he has the win over Jamal.
Cue jumping?
Harrington. Stirring the pot. Because in his main, right? When he beats, who's it called, Johnny Walker at the weekend, right? Mm-hmm. That puts him in that eight, is one eight of his last name, right? So if he beats Johnny Walker at the weekend, right, then that puts him front of the queue because he's the only guy to beat Jamal Hill. And if Jamal Hill wins, then it makes logical sense. What do you say to that, Anthony?
I can see the argument. I can definitely see the argument.
It's a good argument.
It's a good argument. I mean, it's just, you just got, I mean, like, you got to look at the rankings. He lost his last fight and listen, Mr. Paul Craig, I love you, but you looked a little stupid in your last fight. He had a tough fight. He had a tough time with Volkan Ozdemir, who is a tough guy to fight.
You don't shame the guests.
I'm not shaming him.
You shamed him.
Okay. He might be upset about hearing that, but in his own head, he'd be like, he's kind of right.
To be fair, no, you're right, because he did look, you know, he was kind of, you know, but he relies heavily on his grappling, you know what I mean? And I said when I was commentating that fight against, who was it, Volkan Ozdemir, I was saying whilst that fight was going on.
Speaking of shaming the guest, did he watch his fight back and listen to your commentary?
Well, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm getting, because I reached out to him a while ago I wasn't talking shit in the commentary, but I was saying, listen, maybe he needs to round out his skill set a bit more, because when plan A doesn't work, you've always got to have a plan B, potentially a plan C, you know, or even a D if you're mental. Mm-hmm. And when I first DM'd him, he never responded, right? For quite some time, So, you know, I don't like to respond. I don't like to send another one. No, he wasn't. And then I did a thing on BT Sport with him and he was on there. I said, Paul, I shot you a DM. I said, I hope you weren't offended. And he was like, no, mate, don't be bloody stupid. Don't be crazy. I used to be able to do a good Scottish accent. It's gone out the window. But yeah, no, that'll be a good one. Him versus Johnny Walker. What do you think about that, Anthony?
I think Paul Craig wins. They've kind of taken away what's made Johnny Walker. He's lost what's, I don't want to say they've taken it away. He's lost what's made him so dangerous. And it's just unpredictability and his, you know, him just being an athlete and explosive. And now he's trying to break down and be super technical. And he's just not there. Never has been.
That is precisely what I said. That's what made him great. Being unpredictable, throwing out these weird you know, unorthodox movements, mm-hmm. and then he catches people and they get put to sleep because he's so wildly athletic and explosive. Taming that and bringing it down to orthodox and just a jab, right hand, that's not how we fight. So you gotta try and contain that madness a little bit, but still mm-hmm. not dampen the fire completely. You know what I mean? Still gotta let it burn bright, Anthony.
Yeah, and Paul is tough. He's tough. He's a dog. He's not gonna shy away from a little bit of fire. And I think he's going to wade in. He's going to close the distance. I think if they end up on the ground, he's an incredible grappler. And I think he does pretty much whatever he wants to with Johnny Walker on the ground. And Johnny's not a fantastic wrestler. You know, he doesn't get taken down a bunch because he's so explosive and athletic. But I think they're going to end up in grappling exchanges. And Paul Craig wins those 100 out of 100 times.
Yeah, more than likely right. I'm looking here. Go on, bud.
I was going to say one other thing Paul Craig said is assuming he comes out of that Johnny Walker fight, not too, you know, not injured or anything crazy. It's not too crazy of a turnaround for him to be available for UFC 286 in March. And he did have one name of a guy he'd like to fight. And he's on this show right now, Anthony Smith.
He wants to fight me. What would you say to that?
I would say
theoretically, he wins at the weekend. You don't get to step in and be a replacement. And instead of fighting March 11th, which I think you were planning on, they mm-hmm. say March 18th, London, for the believers, Anthony. For the believers, what do you say?
Yeah, I'm in. I'm the 11th or the 18th, I'm good with. Totally good with it. So, I hope that Paul Craig does his job. He goes in there, comes out relatively unscathed and not too banged up, and we can fight the 11th or the 18th. I'm down with either date. Of course, I want to fight in London, but I also enjoy a quick flight to Vegas, which is 3 hours. So I'm good either way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, the traveling for a fight, it's okay when you're going on vacation or whatever, but when it's a fight, the travel just becomes such a pain in the ass, mm-hmm. and then the time changes and then the difference in diet and all the rest of it. You know what I'm saying?
Like Vegas down in Brazil. Easier. Vegas will be
easier. What are you going to eat down in Brazil? Have you given any thought to that?
Because not too much.
When you go somewhere and you've got to order off the menu, in, mm-hmm. you know, if you don't have a chef, some people do that. But if you've got to order off the menu, it can be very difficult.
Yeah, well, leading up until the fight, the PI is doing all my meals. So it'd be pretty much just the UFC feeding me. But other than that, you know, I definitely want to hit like a, you know, one of those Brazilian steakhouses.
Churrascaria.
What's that?
Churrascaria.
What the fuck is that?
That's what you call it. That's what you're talking about. The Mexican barbecue places.
Yeah. So yeah. I want to go to one of those. I don't remember what they're. Yeah, with the little pegs.
Yeah, you turn it upside down. Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely want to hit one of those. The best steak I've ever had in my entire life was in Brazil. They cook really good food. So I'll have a really nice meal on Friday, but I'm going to be getting skinny all week.
I'm bloody jealous because like
you should come
now. Well, yeah, I just jump on a flight. Stop saying that. You do that all the time. Like, Mike, why don't you just come when you're in New York? Mike, come. It's my one weekend off, guys. Never mind the wife and kids. Just going up to New York. Is it a work thing? No, I'm just gonna go hang out. Not that I'm a pussy whipped little asshole, but you know what I mean. I can't just jump on a plane and fly down to Brazil.
You could, you know, just come as one of my corner men. I got an extra spot.
Well, I'll just say it like this. One, the fight's probably not going to happen.
Right, but I still need a cornerman just in case.
Well, just grab Harrington will do. Would you allow Harrington in the corner?
No.
Yeah, I don't blame you. All right, let's just talk about FitBod really quick. Listen, we've talked about FitBod. This thing is absolutely fantastic, okay? We all want to go to the gym. We want to feel better. We want to look better. We want to be healthier. Oftentimes, going to the gym, it can be very boring. You don't know what you're doing. You haven't got direction. You can't afford a personal trainer. Well, for less than the cost of one personal session with a trainer, you can sign up to FitBod for a year. FitBod is an app. Okay, and it's a smart workout app that creates custom dynamic exercise programs based on your goals, your experience, and your equipment. Okay, you might have a full gym, it'll give you workouts based on that. If you're in the park, in your garage, whatever you've got, it'll give you workouts based upon that. And of course, there is 4K video on there. So each exercise, because sometimes, you know, just being told what they are, you don't know how to do that. The app will walk you through it. Of course, it works on both iOS and Android devices. The app is also very, very easy to use. As I say, video tutorials make learning the new exercise an absolute breeze. The algorithm uses data and analytics so you can scientifically build your next best workout and maximize results. You can see your muscle usage, recovery, achievements, and workout streaks right there in the app. You are in control with workouts designed just for you, so you get exactly what you need. Listen, stale in the gym, looking for imagination, looking for motivation, looking for new workouts, new exercises, just something fresh. You got to check this out. Oh, by the way, the offer is ridiculous, okay? All you got to do is go to fitbod.me/believe. You will get 25% off your subscription, or you can try the app out for free. I mean, if that's not a good deal, I don't know what is. If you're looking for inspiration, you can do it here with a 2-week free trial. Go to fitbod.me/believe. You'll get 25% off your subscription and you get to try the app out for free when you sign up now at fitbod.me/believe. Harrington, what is Jake Paul and Nate Diaz? What is the association here other than Jake Paul offering him a 2-fight deal? What is this about his father or something?
Yeah, so Nate posted a video that showed Jake's father coming up to Nate and essentially just praising him, right? Like, you know, you got that dog in you. You're a hell of a fighter. You're, you know, incredible. Just bigging him up, right? Being very friendly and cordial in person. Then wearing the same shirt in the first video, he went on Sean O'Malley's podcast and just trashed Nate's skill. Was like, Jake would absolutely destroy him. Nate's an also-ran. He was never even that good in the UFC. Just couldn't have been more two-faced.
Oh.
That's kind of a dickhead move.
Well, what are you going to do? Jake Paul's dad's going to Jake Paul's dad. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's going to say that. He's probably saying that to Nate to try and get him to take the fight. But then he's going to say what he says publicly. We were talking last week, and I'm not going to be that guy that reveals direct messages on publicly. I'm not going to be that guy, but we were on the phone. Jake Paul messaged me out the blue last week, and we went back and forth for a while. He was mad. He was angry. He was talking so much shit. And I said to him, I said, you know, without going into too many details, I just basically said, Jake, I never said anything bad about you. I just said, you're yet to fight a boxer. You're yet to fight someone your size. That's all it is. And he kept going on. And by the end, it all ended in a kind of a cordial place. I said, look, Jake, listen, you're 25 years old. You know, God bless. Good for you. I hope you do great things. You know what I mean? But you just yet to fight someone. And it ended in a decent place. So I don't want to be that guy and talking shit and being two-faced. But my God, he came after me. He said, why are you talking so much shit? I said, I'm not talking shit about you personally. I don't know you. I've never met you. But you can't say that you're fighting boxers. You're not about fighting Canelo. You're yet to fight a boxer. That was all it was. But so we had a bit of fun there. That passed the time for a couple of hours.
I say lots of bad things about Jake Paul all the time. Nothing personal, because again, I don't know him personally. I think he's an asshole. I think that he sucks. I don't think he's very good. And I don't know why he's so offended by that. Like, the issue, I think, with MMA fighters, guys like you and me talking bad about him, is like, I bet he gets so mad because, like, what the fuck are you going to do about it? Like, you're going to... You're going to be mad on Twitter. You're going to talk shit on Instagram. You're going to send mean messages. Like, that's about all you're going to do, because he would never, ever say half of that shit to your face or to my face. He just wouldn't, would never do that. Like, that's got to be really frustrating. Like, if it's another YouTube nerd or another, you know, guy that's not a very good boxer, and, you know, a Dylan Danis or something, like, I'm sure he has no problem talking shit to those guys, but like, what the hell is he going to do to us? Like,
Dylan Danis is another one. He's so I do lives now and again on my YouTube channel.
Has he been doing this recently?
Dylan Danis always pops up. Always pops up in there, right? And it is Dylan Danis, right? Because everyone's like, you're crazy, Bisping, if you think that's Dylan Danis. So I said, right, if it is you, Dylan, message me on Instagram. And sure enough, he messages me, right? And he says, do you want to get this interview? And I will do this, because this isn't us arguing or whatever. But he's a weird guy, because he pulled out of that fight with KSI, which I thought was stupid. Listen, KSI, whatever, he could have made some money there because he's got a big following, because he's a YouTuber, all the rest of it. He says, here's Dylan. He said, yeah, let's get this done. I said, all right, let me figure it out. I'll come back to you. And I forgot, right? It wasn't at the top of my priorities. Let's figure out the Dylan Dennis interview. And he comes back, you scared to talk? And I'm like, no, sorry, let's do it next week. He goes, yeah, sure. And I forgot again. And then he goes, oh, so you're all talk. I went, okay, sorry. This coming week, how's Tuesday? He says, cool. And I go, what's your email? And then nothing. No response there. They're weird. This
we should try to get him on Thursday.
Let's get him on. Let's get him. Well, I did a message him. Well, let's message him again right now, live on the show.
Let's get him on Thursday. I'd love to really hear.
Are you going to do the show Thursday?
Fuck yeah.
Oh, baby. I thought we were having a non-Anthony episode.
Well, I mean, my plan is to do it. The time change is going to mess with us a little bit. So you might have to be a little bit flexible. But
well, I'm flexible, but I see what's going on here. You're just painting the groundwork, right? So you get the credit for doing the show, but you're not actually going to do it. You're like, I'm going to try, guys. I'm going to try.
No, as long as we can.
The time difference and the jet lag and the diet.
I'm not too worried about the time change of the jet lag. It's as long because I think it's 4 hours time difference. So like, I'll do it late as long. I think we can figure it out,
bro. I'm doing a live BT Sport weighing show on Friday morning. So the tension waiting to see if Glover and Jamal make it to the scale, whether they do or not. And then Anthony Smith walks out. I'm going to lose my goddamn mind. But the point I'm bringing this up is that we're doing a live weighing show. My call time is 3:45 in the morning because it's in Rio de Janeiro. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 3:45 in the goddamn morning.
At least you don't have to go far.
Well, I just walk down here like I always do. Never leave the bloody house these days. Harrington, what else are we missing in the notes, buddy? Anything worth mentioning? Anything big?
One thing that I didn't put in the notes, I just put it in the chat here. Patty Pimblett is going to be having ankle surgery, so he won't be available for UFC 286 in March.
Yeah, it's not exactly massive breaking news. I saw that a couple of days ago. It said, though, which I thought was quite confusing, he's not having surgery till March. But then I saw another interview or another article that I read, and it never mentioned that. Do you know which is true, Harrington? Because if he's not having surgery till March, that seems a little weird. That can't be accurate. We're in January.
Yeah, that'd be weird.
Why would you wait till March? What's the stance on that, Harrington? Did you see anything? And I'm repeating myself for the believers.
Sorry. I'm looking into it now. I am reading the same thing that you were, that he is planning the surgery for March.
Why would you plan your surgery? That's weird.
Why would you do that?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Gives him a little time out, I guess.
You should reach out to him.
Yeah, I will do. Maybe I'll go via Ariel. Them two have a great relationship these days. I'm just trying to look in the notes. Then, Harrington, let's look at these non-MMAs before we get to some questions. We don't want to keep Anthony too long today. We'll take a vote, Anthony, because you haven't looked. We've done number one. We did the former Bellator fighter. Okay. Two, this is what Harrington puts in for the podcast. I don't know what much of a talking point this will be. Ring, you know, the front door, the ring things. Mm-hmm. Ring have invented a security drone that will fly around your house while you're away to keep an eye on things. I know about this because Lucas told me, because he's 12 and stuff like that excites him. Here's another one. A man used AI, artificial intelligence, and Amazon services to create a children's book out of thin air in under a week. In fact, I was watching some videos on that one. Do you want to talk about that, Anthony?
Yeah, let's talk about that one.
I was in the gym this morning, lifting weights. You know, it's part of my lifestyle, even with a broken back, Anthony.
At the Meathead gym?
Not a Meathead gym, LA Fitness.
Oh, okay.
Anything but a Meathead gym. My LA Fitness, it's, oh God. If you go in the morning, there's people, and God bless them. I'm so proud of them. Old people. Working out, but it's full of old. Some of them have an oxygen tank, right? They do.
And are like, you serious?
I swear to God, you will see multiple oxygen tanks. And I've got two things to say. One part of me is like, oh my God, that's amazing. Well done. I salute you. At your age and your condition, you're still doing your best. You're getting out there. You're working out a little nice and gentle. It's beautiful. It really is. And I commend them so much. The other part of me is like, get the fuck out. This isn't exactly inspiring me to kill it. Do you know what I mean? I need to find another gym. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Those are two trains of thoughts. But yeah, I was in the gym this morning and I was listening. Do you know what ChatGPT is? You probably don't.
Mm-mm.
Well, it relates to what Harrington put in here. And Harrington, you jump on in a second. ChatGPT is like an artificial intelligence program that you can ask it questions and it will just give it you straight away. So Jordan Peterson, psychologist, you know, yeah. Jordan Peterson,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
He's awesome. He said, and he was on Joe Rogan podcast. That's what I was listening to. He said, they asked him because he does a book called 12, he has a book called 12 Rules of Life. Mm-hmm. He said, I want you to write out the 13th rule in my style. It took it 3 seconds. 3 seconds, boom, straight away. There was a 13th chapter. And when he read it, he was like, oh my God, this sounds like me. So they mimicked and imitated the style, the words, the vocabulary, just like Jordan Peterson would, and spat it out back at him in 3 goddamn seconds. The human race is, we're done.
That's insane.
It's so insane. And then there was a bunch of other examples as well. 3 seconds in 3 seconds. I forget some of them now, but it's just unreal, Harrington.
Michael so Bisbee what this sounded like me.
I knew that's where Brian would jump in.
So what this guy did, right, he goes into ChatGPT exactly that, and he sets up the premise, right? It's a girl and her robot friend are learning about like technology, right? Like the wonders of what a computer can do. So he put that in as a prompt at the ChatGPT. It spat out an entire book for him. Then he went into another AI program and plugged in, based on the words, prompts for art. So that's how you got he got all the art for the book done and all the words for the book done like that. Then went through Amazon, had it digitally published within a day. And then within 2 or 3 days, he set up through Amazon services where he could actually print the book and have it shipped to people. So in under a week, there was no book using just AI and Amazon. That thing is now printed and on people's shelves.
That's insane. Like, you guys got to explain this to me later on. Like, is this like an app or like a website and you just go on and start?
It's freeware. So the problem
it's
with
what?
Using it, it's like freeware. You can go online and use ChatGPT. The problem with using AI for art is you get a lot of uncanny valley stuff that happens. So like they'll have the wrong number of fingers and like weird things happening. This girl has four legs, you know, like and it, like a weird
maybe she
mustache.
Identifies as a woman with four legs, Brian.
Hey, I'm not judging. I'm just saying like that's what you get when you do AI stuff. People with too many teeth, too many fingers. It's like weird.
Look this up, Brian, see if you can find it, because I saw an article that they asked artificial intelligence to come up with an artistic impression for each country. And it brought up all these amazing images that were drawn for like England and America and Japan and all the rest. Just see if you can bring it up, Brian. Unbelievable. And it takes into consideration all their cultural influences and all the rest mm-hmm. of it. Like the Japanese one had like a guy with a samurai sword. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, so stuff AI, like that, you know.
This whole AI thing is so fascinating to me. I just don't know shit about it. I think I just need to.
Look, here we go.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, and the artificial intelligence just does this. Keep going. Look at them.
Look at Australia.
Kangaroo.
That's badass.
There's England. UK, yeah.
UK's was pretty cool.
Yeah, unbelievable. I tell you what.
Thailandia.
Soon, it's going to be crazy. You know what I mean? Because you're not going to need.
That's insane.
I mean, of course, you want to be intelligent
that's
by
so
yourself.
Cool.
But like, what's the point in writing a book when artificial intelligence can do it? In 3 seconds,
yeah,
and way
right.
quicker, and way better.
And
do you
probably
know what
way
I mean?
Better, yeah.
Way better. And it's going to get even smarter because as of right now, it's just going off people's, what it's learned from the English language. Yes, mm-hmm. Harrington.
So I read another one where a guy worked as a copywriter. His boss found out that it was way cheaper to just input like the prompts into ChatGPT. And then it was going to pay him they were going to pay him half his rate to rewrite the articles to make it sound like a human wrote it and not a computer.
Wow. So
that's like,
so I'm still not familiar, Brian and Harrington. You two seem to know a bit more about this. ChatGPT. So I can just go to a website, is it? And I can just, you have to subscribe, you have to pay whatever it is. And then you just put in, write me an essay on Anthony Smith and I don't know.
Whatever.
Something.
Kind of. There is definitely a subscription for it if you want to go that way, but there's also a free route as well. And you just pretty much ask it questions or you put in something, you know, what happens when this happens, whatever, write me 1,000 words on this and it'll go.
Yeah. People are using it to write their college essays and stuff like that. It's wild.
And there's probably no way to figure that out. Like if you're a teacher, right?
Well, no, exactly. It's not like you're copying someone else's work.
Well,
essentially, you had artificial intelligence write its own piece of work.
It still has like that uncanny valley situation in language as well. It'll say things that don't make sense, you know.
Yeah.
But like all the tenses or stuff will be right, but the words will be wrong.
Yeah, I was going to say like if you like certain languages, if you translate it like word for word, doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
you know, but I guess you could tweak that a little bit. Yeah, anyway, enough of a couple of knuckleheads talking about artificial intelligence. Yeah. We definitely don't know what we're talking about. I haven't got real intelligence, let alone artificial. All right, let's just talk about RexMD real quick. RexMD basically offer FDA approved generic brand Viagra or Cialis. Okay. And of course, 90% cheaper. Most of the time, you're going to pay $2 per dosage. Okay. And everything's online, super easy. Even the prescriptions, and they deliver it discreetly to your door. There's no waiting rooms, no embarrassing trips to the doctor, no insurance, and no copays. Let's be honest. If your doctor's a female, you don't want to sit there going on about your lack of ability in the bedroom. Okay. Nobody wants that. It's a little, you know, it's a little embarrassing. Okay. RexMD has made the process very simple. No need to jump through a bunch of hoops, set up an embarrassing doctor's appointment to get your medication. With just a few pushes of a button, you can speak to a medical professional, create a personalized plan, and get the products discreetly shipped to your door within 2 days. Now, RexMD just doesn't do ED medication. RexMD offers other medications as well, sexual health, hair growth, pain relief, sleep aid. They're also here to make sure that you save big. For example, as I said before, check this out. Viagra can cost $90 a pill, but RexMD has generic Viagra that is just as effective for as low as $2 per pill. Unlike other brands, as I said at the start, RexMD is FDA approved, clinically tested, and a US licensed pharmacy. You will be getting your FDA approved ED treatments at 90% cheaper than you would do at the doctor's. So yes, 90% cheaper. It's simple, it's fast, it's cheap, and we are offering it to you right now. Take advantage of this great deal. All you got to do is go to rexmd.com/Bisping. The exclusive offer will save you 90%, where you'll pay only $2 per dosage. Starter packs of generic Viagra or Cialis are now available for our listeners. So get started. Go to rexmd.com/Bisping, up to 90% off. Give the gift of pleasure this new year. That's what you want to give. Should we get to some questions?
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Let's do it.
Let's get to some questions. You know the deal by now. If you have a question, we implore you to send them in. bympod@gmail.com is the website. Please send them in. The more creative, funnier, hilarious, original, deeper, the better.
And if you're watching, if you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you find podcasts, make sure you subscribe to the show and you leave a 5-star rating, positive review. It helps us out on all those platforms. If you are watching on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to the channel and you hit that notification bell to find out whenever new content drops. Also, if you want to catch over 400 episodes completely ad-free and uncensored, head to gasdigitalnetwork.com, use the promo code BYM, get a 7-day free trial, and check out over 20 great shows on the network.
What do we have right now, Brian?
All right. So the first question today comes from Mr. Edward Eaton. He's been trying to get one in, but this is the first one that he got.
What's up, Edward?
Hello, guys. Hopefully this question gets put on. Maybe the last one was shit, but this one's going to be good. I was thinking, like, when I watched Leon Edwards' interview that he did with Spin, like, do fighters ever do this? And if not, do you not think it would be a good game to, like, basically text your opponent when you're feeling a bit cocky, like you're going to get a smashed dickhead. Just like little things like that, or just like basically terror him and then get other people to terror him in the DMs. And maybe it could have an effect on the fight. I don't know. Do people, fighters do that? DM each other like, can't wait to smash your face in, you bitch. You know what I mean? Kind of use that sort of like Conor McGregor chatting shit you know, all the way through leading towards the fight. I don't know. I thought if I was to be a fighter and I was there, like, came from a good training session, I'd be like, you know what? I'm going to message him, get in his head. You're a bitch, you know, I'm going to smash your head. I don't know. Maybe. Let me know.
We get it. Fucking thanks, buddy. Shut up. Thanks, buddy. We appreciate the question. Yes. That happens all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think even now with social media, it has got so much easier. You know, back in the day, you would need to have their phone number or whatever, but now you just put a tweet out or whatever. Anthony, have you got any examples of what he's talking about off the top of your head that you've been involved in or that you've heard about?
I was supposed to fight a guy from the UK. I wish I could remember his name, but I can't remember his name now. He was in the UFC. He's not anymore. But as soon as we signed the contracts and it got
Tom
announced,
Kong Watson?
No. It was an 85er.
Yeah, Tom Watson was 85.
No, I don't remember his name.
Luke Barnett?
No. Nope. Fuck, I don't remember now, but it'll come to me later probably. But he, as soon as we signed the fight each other, I mean, he was in my Twitter DMs, all of his fans. He was tweeting about me. Honestly, it bugged the shit out of me. He bothered me like pretty bad. Like he got under my skin pretty quickly. So I've never done it to anybody else. Of course I've tweeted back and forth with people before, but I've never DM'd anybody.
Yeah. When Twitter first came on the scene, cause I was fighting in the UFC before it was a thing. And then when it first came around, I was like, oh, this is great. So I remember, yeah. I mean, I was always talking smack over the years, you know, it made
in
it
the DMs.
Fun. Not in the DMs, but just in, you know, just mm-hmm. public tweets, you know, I remember Alan Belcher. Alan Belcher was trying to fight, and I'm like, you need to forget having a fight with me and look for a fight against that tattoo artist that drew that abomination on your arm. I think that was one of my tweets. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It just made it fun. As soon as social media came out, because think about it, before then, it was literally, if it was an international fight, you wouldn't see each other. You wouldn't interact. Maybe you might hear an interview that a journalist did, you know what I mean? Yeah. But then now all of a sudden, just a push of a button, you can send a message, mm-hmm. you can threaten them, you can say, well done, you can be full of respect and say, can't wait to meet you in the Octagon, whichever way it is, but you can contact them by the push of a button. It really was a game changer.
Yeah, you know, as long as I've been fighting, there's always, you know, back in the day, I think on the regional scene, you see a lot of beefs, like local beefs in the regional scene. Because everyone's so hungry and everyone wants it so bad, and you run into those people a lot. So there's a lot then. I don't really talk too much trash these days, but if I really don't like anybody.
No, you don't. You don't, Anthony. No, you don't talk a lot of smack. When's the last time you've had, I think I can answer that, a nasty or a bit of back and forth? Would that be the Ryan Spann fight?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I just,
him and I did not get along. We just.
Are you good now?
No, we don't vibe. No,
that's
we don't vibe.
Emphatic no.
No.
Like Mr. Smith there.
Okay. What's he going to do about it, though?
Oh, God. What else we got, Brian?
All right. Next question we have is from Toby from BYM Laughs.
What's up, Toby?
What's up, BYM Laughs guy here. My question to you today is, which of these things would you most want to see implemented in the UFC in 2023? Would it be to, number one, have a new weight class at either 160 or 165 pounds? Number two, to not have a weight cap of 265 pounds for the heavyweight division. Number three, to have either a 4-man or 8-man style tournament championship. Number four, to have a cross promotion championship fight. Or number five, to implement a new glove, such as the Trevor Whitman glove. Thank you as always for the content.
Just pause that, Brian, so we can leave them on there. Sorry. Did you just bring it to the end so we can see those five there? Because they're all pretty good. I've got a question for him. Though on the BYM Laughs, which is a page on Instagram, give it a follow. Why does he always have us sped up ridiculously? I get it because he wants the clip shorter, but
yeah,
we sound ridiculous.
Yeah, well, we're both kind of animated too, so when we're talking,
stop it. Anthony, I'll let you go first. I mean, they're all good suggestions. If you had to pick one of them, what would you go for? Or do you have one of your own, a new rule?
I'd like to see a couple new weight divisions. I wouldn't be so stuck on 160, 165, but if you were to do, you know, like a 165, 175, 185, 95. Yeah, I'd like to see a couple new weight divisions, but if I had to just pick one, I'd love to see no weight cap on heavyweight.
that one doesn't bother me so much. You know, I mean, because realistically, who were you catering to? You know, and like those big, big heavyweights, yeah, they might have to cut a few pounds. I had to cut pounds every time I had to make a weight, every time I fought. So, you know, and realistically, there's not too many 350-pound massive athletic guys. You know what I'm saying?
I think there's a lot of them.
Yeah, well, maybe I'm wrong, but it's not the one that speaks to me.
I think that we miss out on a lot of athletic, huge, really, really good guys at – with by capping it at 265. Think about this. NFL linemen, there's a lot of them guys are 6'8", 6'9", 300 pounds and move well and are super athletic and fast. And those guys just can't make 265 pounds. I think we cut out a pretty big chunk of guys that
all right. Really well, crazy, I backtrack. Bring them in. The weight classes for sure. It should go 55, 65, 75, 85, 95, 205. Mm-hmm. And Dana what doesn't want to do that. The UFC don't want to do it. And I'm sure they've got their reasons. But it'd make it more exciting. There would be more champions, you know, and you'd have people competing more in their correct weight class. What was the other one? New gloves. That needs to happen as well. Mm-hmm. The new gloves for sure.
Those are all great. They were all great.
And what was the other one? New gloves. Because Brian decided to take it away.
Cross promotion championship fight.
I mean, yeah, great. Who cares? That doesn't excite me. That'd be nice. It'd be nice to see because I would like to see champion here going up against that champion. If I had to pick one, what was your one?
No cap on heavyweight.
Yeah, mine would be the weight classes. I'd like to see more weight classes.
Me too.
Just simply because I was 205, and this is personally completely selfish reason, 205 to 185, it's a 20-pound drop.
Yeah, 95 would have been nice.
That's a big drop. Do you know what I mean? I look back at some of my old fighting pictures, skinny as a rake. Do you know what I mean? Trying to make 185, a 195. Oh, come on. Brian, we got one more, my friend?
We sure do. We had a couple more if you wanted to go, but let's save them for Thursday as well. All right. So we got another question here from Josh from Manchester.
Go on, Josh.
BYM podcast, what's going on? Josh here from Manchester. One question today, Anthony and Mike. If you could pick one fight in the UFC to get a neutral fan into watching the sport, what fight would it be? Mine would be Robbie Lawler versus Brian Barberina. That was last year. It's an absolute stomper, that fight. And also for Mike Harrington, just a quick one here, buddy. You do realise when you have this baby, mate, you're going to have no fucking money, you're going to have no fucking life, and you most certainly are getting no fucking sex for minimum 18 months. Anthony, Mike, you can vouch for me on that, can't you, boys? Anyway, stay safe, boys, have a good day.
Yeah, mate, see, look, that is exactly how you do a question. Yeah, right, you get straight to the point, you deliver it. I think Harrington has forgot about that. Anthony, we're both fathers. Yeah. Life changes. It does get better. You have a purpose in life. You want to provide as much as they can. But
it's gonna suck for a minute.
There's a lot of negatives initially as well.
Joke's on you. I already have no money and no life.
With that little bit you've got, it's gonna go a lot less further. Oh, bless. What was his question? One fight. I mean, that's a good one that he chose. I thought he was gonna say Robbie Lawler versus
Rory McDonald.
Rory McDonald.
Yeah. That when he was before he even said that, that fight popped in my head.
Dustin Poirier, no, Michael Chandler versus Justin Gaethje. That would be a great one. Dustin Poirier, Chandler.
Yeah, there's a couple right there.
I'll throw this out: Nate Diaz, Conor McGregor, 2. Great fight.
Yeah, great fight. Francis Ngannou, Derek Lewis.
Oh yeah, the staring match. That was the best staring match we've ever seen. Michael Bisping versus Anderson Silva. I'm just gonna throw that.
That's a really good fight. With even
a cheeky one.
A little bit. That is a really good fight to watch, though.
It was a good one. All right, one fight though, Anthony. One fight. You took my choices there. What's one out of the box, obscure, but only a mind as analytical of yours could come up with? There's Mateus Gamrot.
Mateus Gamrot. Sarukian. Armand Sarukian.
I will say Dan Hooker, Dustin Poirier.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
That was a good one as well.
That was a really good one.
Brian McKay, at B McKay's Right on Twitter and social media platforms. If you care to give the man a follow, and at the M Harrington also, if you want to follow Harrington, you know, whatever. Go on.
We got one more question here. It's from Mr. Richard Mattison.
All right.
There we go.
What's up, guys? Love the podcast. My first question is for Mike. Mike, if you could be in a remake of any of your favorite movies, which one would you want to be in? And then my question for Anthony is, Anthony, when you do become the undisputed champ, what's going to feel better to you? Proving yourself right or proving the people that have believed in you since day one right? Those are my questions. Love the podcast, guys. Brian and Harrington, you guys are the best at what you do. Harrington, congrats on the baby. Let's just hope that she doesn't look like you. Thanks, guys. God bless.
Love that.
That's not nice. That's not nice. Harrington.
He said we were good at things, though.
Yeah, I know. Again, the best in the business.
Yeah, here you go. You went a little fucking far there.
He just got a little carried away with himself, didn't he? Like, a compliment's all well and good, but you can't just flat out lie to these people. You know what I mean? Give them a little bit of reality. Anthony, what say you? What's going to feel better for you?
Out of those two things, I think just giving some, I don't know. Oh, it would almost be like giving a gift to the people that have supported me the whole time, you know, like that it was worth it. So I guess proving them right. But you know what I really look forward to? I don't have this unrealistic view of what it's going to feel like to be the champion, because obviously I've never been the champion of the world, but I've talked to enough guys that have, and I would guess that you'd probably say the same thing, that once you do it, you probably have a feeling of, oh, that's it. You know, like there's the initial reaction and jubilation or whatever, but after that, it's probably just like another fight, you know, and then the stress gets more and more and more. And I get that, but I think the relief of just finally getting it, I don't think I think my biggest problem will be caring afterwards, because it's, I don't know, maybe changing whatever your motivation is. And because it's the only thing I've been focused on for my entire adult life. So I think the one problem I'll have is fighting that feeling of relief where you just finally, like you get like a monkey off your back or a weight off your shoulders. I look forward to that though, that like, okay, like now I got it. Now if worst comes to worst, no matter what, I can move on with my life if I have to.
What is better for you? Is it the motivation? Like ever since you started becoming a fighter, did you want to become the champion? Or, I mean, the two kind of, they're not mutually exclusive, or you just give the better life to your family? Or was it a bit of both?
It was a little bit of both. It was a little bit of both, but really, I think I just came from nothing. It came from a small town where there's not a lot of people that end up doing anything really big with their life. And I just want the whole world to have to acknowledge that I'm the best in the world, even if it's for that one day. If I lose it the next day, I wouldn't even care. Like, just this small town Nebraska kid that no one ever thought was going to do anything with my life. Like, the whole world will have to fucking acknowledge that day I'm the best in the world. I don't give a shit about tomorrow, but that day I was the best in the world. And you can't ever take that from anybody.
I think that's a good place to end. Can't get better than that. And I hope it happens, and I'm sure it will. Obviously, big weekend for you this weekend.
Yeah.
Whatever happens, I hope it's the best scenario for you, Anthony. Of course, that's out of your control, whether or not Jamal or Glover don't make the walk. And if they do, and if you do happen to do it, and you do end up walking in there, my God, buddy,
crazy.
We're behind you. Anthony and Brian are behind you. All the believers, your family, your friends, your loved ones. Whatever happens, we wish you the best. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the show. Thursday, we have a number of guests. We also have Darren Till joining us. I think we're going to have a little interview with Glover Teixeira as well. Fingers crossed. We're trying to make that happen. It's a fluid situation, to use a business term right now. Thursday, we've got another jam-packed show. And Anthony, you're going to endeavor to join us.
I'm going to be there. I'll be there. Even if it's even if we got if we're having some scheduling conflicts, I'll come on for a little bit no matter what.
Just jump on the phone 5 minutes. Boom.
For sure.
Beautiful. For sure. All right, ladies and gentlemen, take care.